Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Our president just addressed the nation, last night and gave the, it was just amazing. I've never seen, it's like every teenager's dream. I'm going to give you everything that you ever wanted. I'm going to somehow miraculously provide the money for it. And, it's all good. It's all good. I mean, from the cradle to the grave, it was the most amazing, unaffordable speech that you ever heard before. And it was amazing was the 500 some odd leaders who stood up and applauded. And it's like, do y'all not know this is actually good, but it can't be a reality. We can't afford it.
It's not possible.
Well, what's amazing to me is how much work immediately gets done right before the State of the Union. I mean, here's a point, and he says, that's why just today.
I signed another executive order.
I
signed another executive order that.
It's like, what have you been doing? And just today you say you signed something. What is this?
Well, even an executive order is going to be signed in regards to the environment. And it's like, let's just take a look at the Constitution. But he did address that too. He said, we need to make sure everything's constitutionally sound. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. See, and this is the question. This is the question that I was, when I was just holding my head down after the address and watching people's response to it afterwards. And Donna comes into my office and I'm thinking, does anything good come out of America? And, you're just thinking, it's not what he said. It's not what he said. We've got to quit blaming the people that we hired and gave them a job description. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit blaming them. It's like blaming Pilate for what the people wanted. Pilate was a politician. He wanted to let Jesus go. He wanted to let him go.
Yeah.
His wife even told him, let's let him go. And he kept on saying, well, how about this way? Maybe we'll do it this way. How about, do you want this murderer, thieving crook who killed one of you guys? Or do you want this awesome dude here that just says he's the Son of God and he's healing you, he's delivering you, and they're going like, Barabbas, give us Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried. He really tried to do what he thought was right, but he didn't go against his political persuasion. And so who was more wrong, the one who was trying to let Jesus go or the people who refused to let him go? And they said, let his blood be on our heads.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was more upsetting, it's like who's worse in regards to trying to stop crime, for example? Is it the prostitute who's on the side of the road or the John that picks them up?
Mm.
You know, and everybody dogs this particular person out that's on the side of the street. But, that she or he wouldn't be there if somebody else wouldn't roll up in their car and pick them up and pay them. You know what I'm saying? We never look at both sides of the equation. And so I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, God, all those leaders, all the senators, all the congressmen and the generals and all, they just are being told something that's not, can't be true, but they're actually standing up and applauding what can't be true. So actually they're expecting Pilate, Pontius Pilate, to give them what they want. And then the public responds. When you're listening to C-SPAN and all the people calling in, you just need to listen to his speech and what he's really saying. It's like, dude, they just wrote that yesterday. You really don't know what they were meaning behind that.
Actually, he didn't write it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. He read it. But the context of it is, who's worse, the one who's telling potentially an untruth, or is it the ones who demand Pilate to tell them the untruth? Is it the American public who says, lie to me, tell me that I'm good, give me everything that I want, provide for me from the cradle to the grave, educate my children, pay my bills, and make sure in the end of my life that I live comfortably, and don't let anybody do better than me. Let it just be all equally done. Amen. So it's not, I really feel, this is what the Lord laid on my heart last night, that a politician, a true politician, and let me tell you, this is Chicago politics. They know politics, you know, from there. And that, I mean, he had Mayor Daley as his chief of staff for 2 years. Everybody just said, okay, whatever you want. You know, it's like, that's like bringing in, Tyson, you know, to be your bodyguard. Anyway, I meant, you know, allegedly. And, all I know is more governors are in jail from that state than any other state.
I know.
Isn't that amazing? It's like, as a matter of fact, even Jesse Jackson's son's about to go.
Yep.
So, yeah. He just did a plea deal so he can get less time. I mean, he got elected when he was in, and he's going through recovery because he was suffering from a state of melancholiness and depression. And, and I think he's, now that he's got a plea deal, I think he's coming out of that.
Yeah.
And he resigned his office. He got elected for office while he was running from indictment. Anyway, the,
wow.
That, we think about it though, that it's unfair to blame our president for what the people of America demanded from him. He's just very good at sensing what the people are asking from him. And he gives back to him, just like Pontius Pilate did. Because Pontius Pilate, man, read the press. He wanted to let this man go, Jesus. He didn't. He wasn't comfortable with it. His wife had a dream about how terrible this is, what we're about to do here. And he brought out probably the worst criminal of all, Barabbas. And he knew that, hey, you bring Barabbas out because you're supposed to let one go, that they're going to pick Jesus. They're going to let Jesus go.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he couldn't come against what God was allowing to take place. And it's like, you know, we need to have a little empathy for our sounding boards, that our politicians who are just echoes of our voices that we shout to Washington, D.C., like you do to a mountain, and it just bounces right back off, and people go, woo, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And you go, that's exactly what you said. It just kind of bounced off the solidness of Washington, D.C., and it's like we're lying to ourselves and we're believing it because we actually vote for somebody to go in office who agrees with our lie. You know, and then we argue with them when it don't work out, and it's like, hey, this was your plan from the beginning. You sent me there to be able to say what you want me to be a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you stand up for yourself, you saw what we did at the Tea Party people, the conservatives that were on these different panels. As soon as the president got his reelection and the Speaker of the House was facing his reelection, whether he's going to be in or not, and his name is the Speaker of the House.
John Boehner.
I can see him clearly.
Did you see him in the back?
Yeah.
He looked like, really happy.
Cheer up, John. Cheer up.
Well, I know there. The vice president was actually, I think he was instant messaging somebody on his phone or something, texting. But his eyes were wide open the whole time. I was like, that's why. I was like, they're like, he braced them bubbies up. Anyway, so the, but they're all, anyway. So he immediately comes back and he realizes that we have no ability, no power left because the president just won election, even though they did, because there's a balance of powers and Congress was reelected conservatively in a powerful way, just like the president was reelected.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately began to remove any conservative voice on any committee. He began to pull anybody off that was related to the Tea Party at all in the context of that. And we're not supporting any particular candidate or anything. It's just conservative voices. And he pulled them off, you know, people who are for the Constitution, for God, and for life, you know.
Yeah.
And he headed that up. And then he came out in front of everybody and said, okay, Mr. President, you've won. You're the leader. We're ready to be led. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Think about that. What happens, we don't understand our government, so we don't understand what that really means. But the Congress, understand this, that the Congress, the Speaker of the House, is the number three person to the presidency. If for whatever reason, say that the president and the vice president are playing golf and lightning came down and hit a tree and they were standing by the tree and their time on earth ended, John Boehner would be the next president of the United States.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that means he needs to be his own individual elected self and whoever he's representing, and he's representing. Mm-hmm. So Congress, and I'm talking about the House of Representatives, not the Senate, because there's two senators from every state, but the Congress is more of a true picture of America because it's based on the population of the state. So small states like Massachusetts may have a couple
representatives from that state because
a couple representatives because their population's small, but then you look at a state like Florida or New York or California, they have a lot of representatives. And so when you look at Congress, Congress gives you a better true picture of America. Mm-hmm. It's the best representation. It's the House of Representation, mm-hmm. the House of Representatives, the representative government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right. so when, for example, when the Attorney General, you know,
Eric Holder
tells the Congress, no, I'm not going to give you what you asked for. He's not telling people. He's not telling, you know, government people. He's telling you and me that right. I'm not going to give to you this information that you're requesting. They represent us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important it is. If the president's going to be impeached, for example, he has to be impeached in the House of Representatives.
Mm.
Because that's a good representation of the population. So nobody trumps out just because you have a bigger, more money. You have to have more people. It's a representative
right.
government. And so when the Speaker of the House of Representatives, your representatives, bow down day one after the election, they remove all the conservative voices and on all these different panels and looks in the cameras with a teleprompter written out speech that they twerked to the last second and looks at America and looks at the president and said, Mr. President, we're ready to be led. That was a day, I believe, that things shifted in America. Because they right after that, they reelected him again as Speaker of the House. They could have not. They could have, you know.
Yeah, especially during that whole fiscal cliff thing that never went, you know, didn't go anywhere, really. And he was the one that was, you know, supposed to be in chief negotiations with the president. Ultimately, he didn't even work out the deal. It took the Senate to actually work out the deal.
And the thing, but the whole, yeah, and that everybody's supposed to work together in the mm-hmm. in Congress because they represent you. So you got to, you know, Florida has to talk to New York. New York has to talk to California. Everybody has to get together and decide a majority of the votes which way we're going to go. And what happened was at that time that the Speaker Boehner just decided to cut a deal. He played a game of golf, stuck in the back, no, walked in the side door of the of the White House, sat back with what they call the president, was chewing Nicorette, trying to break a smoking habit. So much for health, and then drinking iced tea, and he was smoking, and Boehner was smoking a cigar, and he was drinking wine. Merlet, they say. It was the Merlet tea meeting.
Merlet meetings, yeah.
Yeah, Merlet meetings.
Hmm.
And they supposedly struck a deal without America being involved. You know, all the representatives there, so he goes back, and they just, like, freak out. Like, what are you doing cutting a deal without even talking to us?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it's all, but when he came out after all that, I mean, he is the politician. I mean, I think he's like the last of the Mohicans. You know, he's that one.
John Boehner?
Yeah, he's like that.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
He's like that, you know, it's amazing.
Well, and that's the thing. He thought he was going to come in and cut all these deals and all the new, because remember, they had just the election, so all the new conservative members of Congress just got elected and said, you know, we're not going to play this back deal thing. You know what I'm saying? We,
right.
we represent the people.
They were shocked that he actually violated the Constitution by doing that.
Yeah.
And they're he's just going to try to push it through. But even after all that now, and after he stands up and says before all of America, Mr. President, America's ready to be led. And of course, the president's supposed to be lead, but I'm talking about a spiritual sense
mm-hmm.
in regards to
mm-hmm.
the direction that
right.
he's taking the country. And then he comes back and before he made that speech, you know, he removed all the, when you say Tea Party, what you're really looking at is people who were just constitutionalists,
yeah.
who just believe in the founding fathers and what we stood for, you know, God and country, those go figure type, wow, what a concept.
Hmm.
And he removed them, then he made the speech, and then they reelected him as Speaker of the House, which if they didn't reelect him, then maybe the people of America may would have had a window of grace here. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. they would have said, you know, that was wrong, what you did. You removed these mm-hmm. people who are God and country. And, you know, they didn't. They went ahead and reelected them. And so it's like, okay, that means the people bought into this thing.
Mm.
Just like the DNC when they stood up and booed God. You know, but the Congress, yeah. the Congress voted Boehner back into Speaker of the House. And that's the third person in the chain of command for the presidency of the United States, which means that's what people are saying in America. That's what people want. You know, they're only repeating, you know, Paulie wants a cracker, right? The bird goes, Paulie wants a cracker, you know. Paulie wants whatever, and they just go, this is what my constituents want. And they're so political that if the constituents, which is us, you know, would stand up if we see where, you know, we want a representative to be able to stick with our values, they probably would, or you could replace them with somebody who stands up for your values. But it's like, oh my goodness, we've bought into such a false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we talked about yesterday, you got to hear yesterday's the entire program. Talking about the best of times and the worst of times, and it's just like candy stores in regards to you know, some of the church, not all of the church, which God loves, in that we're just saying, give me candy, just give me the good stuff. Don't
give me some sugar.
Yeah, God doesn't. We're a new people. We're a new time. The stuff that doesn't taste good is not even relevant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's basically, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if you do bring up anything in the Word of God that I don't agree with, then I'm going to assume that you don't want me here. Hmm. And it's like, you need to preach on that tomorrow. You know, you know, and when you preach on it tomorrow, understand this, that the Holy Spirit will be present to convict that man, that woman's heart, and maybe they would just see, oh, my goodness. Don't mm-hmm. assume that they're going to, you know, have a negative reaction. Assume that they're going to repent. Assume that the Holy Spirit will convict their heart as soon as the truth goes forth.
Mm.
But it's becoming more like an anomaly.
Mm.
You know, a message from God's coming more like an anomaly. We're going to talk more about that.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.